I'll begin the news today with a simple observation from Highway 14 East out here in front of the WRCO and WRCE studios. The construction work on 14 East continues, and as of right now, we've got single lane traffic on each side of the highway. So eastbound traffic continues in the eastbound lane as it's been. But when I just looked out there, westbound traffic was using the new pavement on the new side in a single lane as well. So I'll see if I can get a more formal update from the project manager, but you can see it out there, eastbound on one side in one lane, westbound on the other side in one lane. Residents of the village of Muscadet should be advised that Muscadet Utilities will be conducting its annual hydrant flushing program soon. This work is scheduled to take place throughout the entire village on July 7th, 8th, and 9th. Crews will begin their operations early in the morning each day to complete the necessary maintenance efficiently. Hydrant flushing is a critical annual maintenance task mandated by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to ensure the village's water system remains in top condition. This process allows utility workers to verify that each hydrant is fully operational and capable of providing adequate flow for fire protection. Furthermore, flushing helps to remove mineral deposits that naturally accumulate inside the water distribution pipes over time and circulates any pocketed water or air to maintain high water quality throughout the system. While this maintenance is necessary, it can result in some temporary inconveniences for local residents. The flushing, draining, and refilling activity may cause a temporary decrease in water pressure and short-term discoloration in the water supply. Residents are also cautioned that these activities may affect the performance of automatic flushing units and other pressure-sensitive equipment within their homes or businesses. Muscadet Utilities appreciates the community's patience and cooperation while these essential safety and maintenance checks are performed. Celebrate America's 250th birthday at the annual Lone Rock 4th of July celebration this Friday and Saturday at Fireman's Park in Lone Rock. The festivities kick off Friday with Doc's DJ playing music starting at 5. The concession stand will also open at 5 o'clock later that night. There will be a youth through old timers baseball game at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, the marketplace will open in the morning at 7. The 5K water run will begin at 8 and the parade steps off at 11 o'clock. Registration for the parade will be in front of the Lone Rock Library from 9:45 to 10:45. An annual tradition at the Lone Rock celebration is the chicken barbecue. Again, this year there will be two locations where you can enjoy a delicious meal. The Community Congregational Church of Lone Rock will be serving chicken at Fireman's Park starting at 11, or you can wait until after the parade for the EMS chicken barbecue at the Lone Rock Fire Department. The celebration at Fireman's Park begins at noon. The bouncy houses for the kids will get underway, and the concession stand will open at that time. A sand wrestling tournament will be held at 4 o'clock. Music will be provided by Doc's DJ from 5 until midnight, and a raffle drawing will be held at 6 o'clock. The two-day celebration will culminate with fireworks at dusk. Enjoy the 4th of July weekend during the Lone Rock 4th of July celebration, Friday and Saturday at Fireman's Park in Lone Rock. More information can be found at lonerock4thofjuly.org. Fox 6 Milwaukee reports a 14-year-old boy from Madison tragically lost his life in a drowning incident at Sandy Beach Park in Lake Mills. The emergency began at 3:19 p.m. when Jefferson County 911 Communications received a report of a missing swimmer. In response, the Lake Mills Police Department, Lake Mills Fire Department, and Ryan Brothers Ambulance Service immediately arrived at the scene to focus rescue efforts on the swimming area. The Lake Mills dive team located the victim at 3:51 p.m. and removed him from the water. Despite intensive life-saving efforts by emergency responders, the boy was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities have noted the victim was not wearing a personal flotation device at the time of the incident. The Lake Mills Police Department is currently investigating the circumstances surrounding the drowning. Based on witness statements, investigators believe there is no indication that this was anything other than a tragic accident. Out of respect for the family, the identity of the 14-year-old is being withheld at this time. Three people were killed when a pickup truck struck a UTV in northwest Wisconsin Saturday evening. Authorities said the UTV failed to stop at a stop sign while crossing a county highway northeast of the village of Webster before it was struck by a Dodge pickup on the highway. The UTV driver, 69-year-old Gary Schreindel of Anoka, Minnesota, and passengers, 68-year-old Constance Klatt of Anoka and 69-year-old Deborah Dye of Lodi, Ohio, were killed. The pickup driver, 21-year-old Ashton Erickson of Webster, was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The DNR and Burnett County Sheriff's Office were investigating the crash. Senator Howard Markline has been recognized by the Wisconsin Counties Association with the Outstanding Legislator Award for his dedicated service during the 2025-26 legislative session. This prestigious honor, presented by the WCA Government Affairs Associates, Chelsea Shanks and Colin Driscoll, marks the fourth time Senator Markline has received this distinction during his tenure in the state Senate. The award highlights Markline's significant contributions to the 2025-27 bipartisan state budget, which provided critical support for Wisconsin's counties. His leadership was instrumental in securing resources for circuit court systems and increasing funding for local infrastructure through programs such as general transportation aids and the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. Additionally, Markline championed efforts to improve local mental health care and ensured full funding for county conservation staff. Expressing his gratitude, Senator Markline stated that he is honored to be a reliable voice for county governments and remains committed to advocating for their needs in the future. The WCA continues to commend his exceptional work in supporting both local governments and the citizens they represent. On June 26th, the Cassville community gathered at the Cassville Rescue Squad's 45th annual dance to celebrate a significant milestone in local volunteer service. During the event, State Representative Travis Trannell and State Senator Howard Markline presented a Wisconsin State Legislative Citation to Robert Pohl, honoring his nearly 15 years of unwavering commitment to the Cassville Rescue Squad and the residents of the surrounding townships. Pohl's journey of service began in 2011 when he joined the squad as a volunteer emergency medical technician. Over the next decade and a half, his contributions extended far beyond responding to emergencies. He was instrumental in ensuring the squad remained inspection ready at all times, meticulously managing medical equipment and supplies, and playing a vital role in training fellow volunteers on new life-saving equipment. His leadership and technical expertise significantly strengthened the quality of emergency medical services available to the rural community. Robert's years of selfless service have made a lasting difference for the people of Cassville and the surrounding area, remarked Representative Trannell. His commitment to protecting others and supporting his fellow first responders is an example of the volunteer spirit that makes our rural community strong. As Robert Pohl moves into the next chapter of his life, the community extends the deepest gratitude for his distinguished service and advocacy. His legacy of reliability and compassion has left an indelible mark on the region, and we wish him the very best in his well-earned retirement. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College has officially welcomed Dr. Jeremy Picard as its sixth president, marking a significant milestone for the institution. Beginning his tenure on June 29th, Dr. Picard steps into a role that carries the responsibility of continuing the college's mission to expand opportunity, strengthen communities, and prepare students for successful careers. Dr. Picard's selection follows an extensive national search conducted by the Southwest Tech District Board. He succeeds Interim President Caleb White, who served as a vital leader during the transition period. Chris Prangy, chair of the Southwest Tech District Board, highlighted Dr. Picard's deep commitment to student success and his proven ability to foster meaningful partnerships with employers, schools, and local organizations. Before joining Southwest Tech, Dr. Picard served as the Vice Chancellor of Academic Affairs at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges. His career spanning over two decades in higher education leadership is marked by a focus on strengthening student outcomes and workforce training. Notably, he led a successful $40 million bond initiative that established four career advancement centers, which expanded technical education access for both rural and urban learners. His leadership also contributed to enrollment growth and improved retention rates, alongside earning recognition for Eastern Iowa Community College as an Aspen Top 200 institution. Reflecting on his new role, Dr. Picard credits his background in construction for his respect for skilled trades and hands-on learning. He expressed his enthusiasm for becoming part of the Southwest Wisconsin community and working collaboratively to ensure the college continues its trajectory of excellence. Dr. Picard and his wife, Renee, are looking forward to engaging with the district's students, faculty, alumni, and business partners. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College remains committed to providing high-quality education through its more than 60 programs, which include associate degrees, technical diplomas, and certificates. As the winner of the 2025 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the institution continues to focus on preparing graduates for high-demand careers and driving regional economic strength. The state's Child Care Bridge Payments Program for providers expires this week, and Wisconsin Early Childhood Association Executive Director Ruth Schmidt says families and policymakers will need to make decisions with families have a more difficult time finding care for their pre-K children. Schmidt says the end of the bridge payment will exacerbate a shortage of qualified early childhood educators in Wisconsin. She believes state lawmakers ought to consider some sort of a public investment and acknowledge that the entire state relies on there being a healthy system of child care. The bridge payments program was established when the earlier Child Care Counts pandemic era stabilization program was set to expire about a year ago, but is now ending with nothing to replace it. The Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services has awarded an $80,000 manufactured home rehabilitation and recycling grant to the Tomorrow's Home Foundation. This funding is dedicated to the critical repair and responsible recycling of manufactured homes across the state, ensuring that residents have access to safe and affordable housing options. DSPS Secretary Dan Harith emphasized the foundation's commitment to maximizing the program's impact, noting their ability to leverage volunteer resources and minimize costs. Katie Daggett, executive director of the Tomorrow's Home Foundation, expressed gratitude for the support, explaining that the grant allows the organization to extend the life of homes that are vital to Wisconsin families and communities. While Governor Evers had initially proposed a 50% increase in funding for the grant program, the state legislature ultimately maintained the award at $80,000. The program itself is sustained by titling fees collected by the DSPS, which are then reinvested into local manufactured home communities. An official check presentation took place June 25th. Governor Evers, working in partnership with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Amtrak, has submitted a federal grant application to revive and expand passenger rail service across Wisconsin. The administration's proposal aims to extend the Amtrak Hiawatha line, which currently connects Chicago and Milwaukee, into Dane, Jefferson, and Waukesha counties. By leveraging existing railroad infrastructure and making strategic capital investments, the project would connect travelers to Madison, Watertown, and Pewaukee. This initiative represents a significant pivot from the state's past, most notably contrasting with the 2010 rejection of federal funds that derailed previous high-speed rail efforts. The current plan centers on practical upgrades, including bridge rehabilitation, track and crossing improvements, and the construction of ADA-accessible temporary station platforms in the target cities. The expansion promises broad advantages for the state, offering an enhanced connectivity for families, workers, and students, and providing more reliable travel options between major economic hubs like Madison, Milwaukee, and Chicago. Beyond passenger convenience, the improvements to rail infrastructure will bolster freight rail safety and reliability, ultimately reducing travel times. The project is estimated to generate roughly 200 permanent jobs and contribute approximately $46 million in annual economic benefits to Wisconsin. Local efforts in Madison are already aligned with this potential growth, with the city having recently completed a passenger rail station study to identify future hub locations. With the high use of mobile devices, there are charging kiosks available at various public locations that anyone can use when the device's battery gets low. When using a public charging kiosk, be cautious so that you're not a victim of juice jacking. Michelle Reinen is with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
This is asking consumers to really think twice before they plug into public charging kiosks. So when you find one, you might not think twice about plugging in a low battery device for a few minutes and really think about when you're at the airport and traveling about. But when a cyber criminal tampers with these kiosks to install a small electronic device called a skimmer, these tools become a juice jacking risk. And this term comes from hijacking and juicing, or adding juice, adding power to your device. So all just slang to make sure we're getting people's attention. When a juice jacked charging cable is plugged into a consumer's device, it could actually install malware, lock the device, and demand payment to unlock it, or steal sensitive data, the consumer's passwords, financial information, credit card or bank account numbers, and contacts could be stolen instantly and possibly without the consumer actually knowing that it happened.
There are options available and precautions you can take to prevent your device from being juice jacked.
And so I do want to create some calm. Few public charging kiosks are tampered with by scammers, but almost any one of them could be. So we need awareness around this if a consumer needs to charge up. So if you are charging up, then know that should you get a choice to choose charge only when you plug in your device versus share data, choose charge only. And then you have the option as a consumer to attach a USB data blocker device to the end of a cable, which allows devices to be charged while stopping any data transferring from occurring. So if you are a high volume traveler and need to use these, you might want to invest in that USB data blocker device, or just use a standard wall plug and portable battery with your charging cable, your very own, and don't depend on these public charging stations. Just go prepared.
If you are a victim of a juice jacking or any other scam, you can contact DACCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at DATCPHotline@wi.gov. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has joined a multi-state coalition in a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's new Medicaid work requirements, specifically targeting an interim final rule issued by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on June 3rd. This legal action contends that the rule unlawfully narrows the medically frail exemption, creating significant obstacles for individuals with serious health issues to maintain their coverage. Wisconsin Attorney General Call emphasizes that these changes contradict the original intent of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which was designed to protect vulnerable populations, not restrict their access to care. Beyond the specific eligibility concerns, the lawsuit highlights the severe administrative burdens imposed on states. The new rule requires states to notify Medicaid recipients of these complex changes by August 31st in preparation for the requirements taking effect January 1st, 2027. This timeline creates immense pressure on state agencies, including Wisconsin's Department of Health Services, and risks disenrollment for many of the 800,000 members currently enrolled in the state's Badger Care Plus program. The coalition argues that these requirements disregard evidence that administrative barriers, rather than a failure to work, often lead to the loss of coverage for eligible individuals. By disregarding the plain language of the statute and previous guidance, the rule reportedly violates the Administrative Procedure Act and imposes unconstitutional compliance burdens on states that already invested in implementing the law as originally written. As communities prepare to celebrate Independence Day and commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States, Ready Wisconsin urges everyone to celebrate responsibly and make fireworks safety the star of the show. As we gather with family, friends, and neighbors for the semi-quincentennial, people shouldn't forget to keep safety in mind, said Wisconsin Emergency Management Administrator Greg Engel. A few moments of caution can make the difference between a successful celebration and a preventable tragedy. In 2025, there were 226 emergency department visits in Wisconsin for fireworks-related injuries, with 58% of those occurring during the first week of July, according to preliminary data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Even novelties like sparklers can burn at roughly 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit and easily ignite clothing and cause severe burns. The safest way to enjoy the holiday is by attending professional community shows. If you do use your own fireworks, ensure you follow local laws, keep children away from them, and always stay outdoors with water nearby. Remember to maintain a 35-foot distance from ground fireworks, never relight duds, and keep pets safely inside. For additional safety, light only one at a time, stay sober, and consider using alternatives like glow sticks or bubbles. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Wardens are set to join law enforcement agencies across the country for the annual Operation Dry Water campaign. Taking place from July 3rd through the 5th, this initiative focuses on preventing boating while impaired to ensure that Wisconsin's waterways remain safe for everyone during the busy holiday period. Operation Dry Water is a year-round national effort dedicated to reducing alcohol and drug-related boating incidents and fatalities through a combination of public education and strict enforcement. The dangers of operating a vessel while under the influence cannot be overstated, as alcohol remains a leading contributing factor in recreational boating fatalities nationwide. The impact is felt locally as well. In 2025, one-third of the 15 fatal boating incidents in Wisconsin involved alcohol. Because operating a boat while impaired by alcohol or drugs is both dangerous and illegal, wardens will be highly visible on the water and at boat launches. Their efforts will include public education, compliance checks, and proactive measures to identify and remove impaired operators from the water.